This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, the Feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, by Father William Doc Holliday.
They immediately leaving their nets followed him.
The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. The word immediately used a few times in just a few verses in that gospel passage of our Lord calling his first disciples immediately. But Gospel of Mark is known as the immediate gospel. In Mark, you see everything is immediately and then immediately and immediately. Immediate is the desire of our Lord and our response to him. If you look at this particular case with Peter and Andrew immediately leaving their nets and following our Lord, you really got to sit back and think about the timing of this whole thing. When I said he called his first disciples, these were the very first ones that our Lord calls to himself. As St. Gregory the Great points out, speaking of this passage, he says it's kind of interesting that they would immediately leave their nets. They don't ask for any kind of explanation for anything. They don't ask for any background. They're like, well, you know, if we follow you, what's in it for us? Or who are you that we should follow you? I mean, there's none of that going on. There's no inquisitive remarks whatsoever. They just immediately follow him, which St. Gregory the Great points out is kind of interesting because not only do they not do those things I just said, but they have seen our Lord Jesus Christ perform no miracles. He hasn't performed any miracles at all. They haven't heard one thing about eternal life and the gospel and embracing him in faith, that he's going to die for their sins. None of that at all. They didn't see any. Why would a rational person just drop everything? I mean, this is their job. Put it in context. Think of yourself. Think of you being at work or whatever you do. And someone shows up and says, follow me. Okay. No one would do that. No one would do that, particularly if you're talking about your job. Why? Because you'll get fired or you're quitting. Okay, that's one of the two. Hey, boss, I quit. Or I just, you know, you walk off the job, you know, no call, no show. You get fired, right? Wouldn't do that. Why do they do it? And this is their vocation. I mean, and vocation back in the day, hey, I'll go on welfare, I'll get EBT or whatever that, you know, whatever. Well, you know, some will happen. You know, I'll find some governmental program that'll pay for my house. Back then, you didn't work, you didn't eat, and you could die. And they immediately leave. Why? That's got to be the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can move you to do something that God desires of you. Only the Holy Spirit can give this kind of understanding. We hear that understanding. We've got to realize that understanding in its proper sense, understanding when it comes to things of the faith, understanding is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we always did just kind of, you know, we like the, you know, these really churchy kind of, you know, piety and fear of the Lord and things like understanding, to understand things of God. Only the Holy Spirit can open your eyes to that. How many billions of people walk the face of this planet? They've heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and they deny it outright. And some of them are like wicked smart. They're doctors and lawyers and everything. Those are usually the worst. They can explain to you why there's no God and all this other kind of good stuff. Why is it? Why is the Holy Spirit open some people's eyes? He does open their eyes, but there has to be a response. There has to be a response to the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't just think of the Holy Spirit in this ethereal, transcendent sense and the gifts and all, you know, this sign and that wonder and all this kind of stuff. And just think about the Holy Spirit speaks and there's the nudge, but you have to leave your nets, so to speak. Most of us do not do it immediately. This is just a pointed reference to where the Holy Spirit will work in some people's lives and immediately They understand. He will work like that sometimes, but he doesn't normally. However, when we see this happen, it gives us a little bit of a nudge to do a little bit more and to open our eyes more and more in the understanding of what our Lord Jesus Christ desires from us. Put down your nets. Follow me. Okay, does that mean for us to quit our job? No, it does not. Now, for some people, it does. Very few people. That's called the religious life in the clerical state. There are some people that are called to do things like that, but there are very few. The application of this to each and every one of us in a more general sense is to understand that when we start to cooperate with the understanding, when we start reacting to the understanding that we have a God, and it becomes more than just propositions to us, then we're going to move. We're going to move in the direction our Lord Jesus Christ wants us. We see this with St. Peter and St. Andrew. Today is St. Andrew's feast, so let's focus on him. You know, if you look at this man's life, I mean, yes, he puts down his nets with his brother Peter. They walk with our Lord in his earthly ministry. They go through all the ups and downs of that whole thing. Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit dwells within them, and they become stalwarts for our Lord. You look at St. Andrew, this one who immediately left everything that he had in this world and started following our Lord, and now he is an evangelist who actually gives a went to areas of Asia Minor, and he's very effective, and he moves around from here to there, and he's planting the seeds of the church in different places, and that is not palatable to the governing authorities of the day. So he gets arrested. This judge that St. Andrew stands before, and again, this is where we talk about not immediate, oh yeah, okay, I'll make me fishers of men. That sounds good. You know, I'll just follow you, and I want to, you know, I'll teach people to do things. All of a sudden, we're standing before a judge who can take your life. He can take your life, and St. Andrew does not lighten up in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, he gets a little bit more up in your face. He gets a lot more up in your face. And he, in the Roman Breviary this morning, is speaking of St. Andrew before this judge, whose name is Aegeus. And he said, St. Andrew looks at Aegeus and he says, "You who wish to be considered a judge over men, you are deceived by devils in not recognizing Jesus Christ as God, the judge of all men." Back in these days, that's not just look along and I object, you know, that's out of order for the court. And no, this, in this day and age, it will get you killed. They could kill you at the drop of a hat anyway, but here you are, the defendant, and you start popping off at the judge. He's deceived by devils. You know, you think you're the judge of men, but Christ Jesus is God. He's the judge of all men. You know, and it goes on and on. After he says that, you know, he's prison bound. They rack him. They beat him. They torture him for a few days. And then they bring him back before Jesus. Yeah, I taught him his lesson. Now, pop off. And he's before Aegeus again. And all he does is constantly praise the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and accuses Aegeus of impiety. Constantly accusing the judge of impiety. This kind of pulls the rug out from under and flies in the face of this moderate. Oh no, you approach people where they are. You approach people where they are and you meet them where, and then you accompany them. How did St. Andrew accompany Aegeus? He accused him of his impiety. Why? Because he denied Jesus Christ as God. You wouldn't have seen pictures back in the day if we had internet. You wouldn't have seen pictures of St. Andrew all hugging on Aegeus, you know, to show unity and ecumenism. You would never have seen that. You would never have seen that. You'd seen a man accusing him of impiety and praising the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This doesn't happen of our own volition. It doesn't happen because we love Jesus Christ just in our humanity. It's the Holy Spirit. It's that understanding. In all these other, the piety, the fear of the Lord and everything, they have to be informed by our understanding of what we are to do for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's not for us to guess what we need to do. It's written down for us. We have the examples, St. Andrew, all of the saints, particularly the martyrs. We have this written down for us. We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
it can take it a form of supernatural abilities. And that, I mean, his execution. You know, there's only so much Aeneas is going to take and listen to about his impiety and listen about the cross of this criminal Jesus that was executed by the Jews. This is not going to happen. You think this cross of Jesus Christ is so great? Here, I'm going to hang you on one. What's the response? Great. I mean, they're marching him to the cross, and St. Andrew, is just, he just starts to see it, and he starts praising God. Cross, I have waited for you for day after day. I have waited for you. The instrument of my salvation is now going to be the instrument where I can be joined to my Lord. This guy's excited about getting crucified. In the gospel, we hit when our Lord's crucifixion. When our Lord is crucified, we see Pilate is marveling. He's dead already? He only hung there for like 3 hours. You imagine that? 3 hours suspended by nails in your wrists and in your feet. You know, those are the only 3 points that are right. 3 hours. He's dead already? Nobody died in 3 hours. That's what it's there for, suffering. Andrew hung on the cross for 2 days. 2 days he hung on the cross for 2 days, and all he did the entire time was continue to preach our Lord Jesus Christ. Into the first day, people were starting to be moved, maybe not by the gospel, but just by who Andrew was. He had never done anybody harm. He'd never done anything. You know, so you had a group of people that got, this man is innocent. There is no reason for his execution. You know, they got to call soldiers in to kind of calm the people down. And then into the second day, there's people that are starting to get, you know, no, he needs to cut. You need to take him down. You need to take him down from the cross. What does St. Andrew do? He forbids the people, please do not beseech them to take me from the cross and take what I have desired for years. Don't take it from me. He argues with the people who are arguing with him to get off the cross. So into the second day, now the people are really, you need to take, this is wrong. If he was guilty of anything, he would be dead now. You know, most people don't last for 2 days on the cross. Okay, look at it. Take him down. Andrew sees that his words aren't doing it, so he starts to pray. Lord, I beg you, do not let them remove me from the cross. What's that about? That's supernatural. It's super. No human being does that. Okay, but what is that? It's a witness. It's a supernatural witness to our Lord Jesus Christ by someone who has understanding. Not a cognitive understanding, but a heartfelt understanding of what is expected of him. The application to us, you know, you get an example like St. Andrew. And again, you hear all this nonsense about accompaniment and all that other drivel. That's not one saint, none of them. None of the saints approach things like that. Because why? Because they understood. And anybody would tell you different doesn't understand. They don't have the supernatural gift, the spiritual gift of understanding what our Lord Jesus Christ desires of us. I mean, that first reading today, Romans chapter 10, it started in verse 9. If you believe in your heart that God has raised our Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. I mean, I love that formula because I mean, so many people are hung up. I wonder if I'm going to be saved. I wonder if I'm going to say, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, faith, and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That's what the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul. Okay, it's a very simple formula, but it pulls the rug right out from under. I mean, it broadsides the whole faith alone thing. Because verse 10 in Romans 10 says, for with the heart we believe unto justice, righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It just doesn't mean what you say. The mouth is a metaphor for how we live, what we do. The physical manifestation, the reality of the manifestation of what we say we believe. This is what saves us. This is why it's if it's confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Even in Romans 10, it's even inverted. Faith is secondary. The first thing is confessing with your mouth. And again, that's just not words. It's how you live your life. That whole passage of Scripture, if you look, some of your Bibles have the little headings over each of the chapters. One Bible I was looking at today said, you know, it's talking about, what is St. Paul talking about here? What is the context of when St. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him to the dead, you will be saved? He's talking to the Jews of Rome, okay, the Jewish converts, but what? He wants the Jews who are not converted yet to understand if they refuse to submit to the faith in Christ Jesus, they cannot be justified. They will not be saved. This is what St. Paul's message is in Romans chapter 10. That if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be justified. It doesn't matter about your claim to monotheism and being a child of Abraham and all this other happy stuff. It's believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what this is about. You know, if somebody like St. Andrew can endure what they endured in this world, and even when it looked like there was a glimmer of hope from worldly standpoint, like they might take him down from the cross, he argues against them with his mouth, and then he prays to Almighty God that he be not taken down from the cross. That's supernatural. You know, everybody get that? No. Very, very few people. That's a very apostolic kind of approach to God. Why? Because the apostles had more faith than we do. Okay, that's not a pejorative to us. It was just how the Holy Spirit worked. He's going to work in the men who were the seedbed founders of the church. He is going to prove through them without a doubt that what their message is supernatural, and it is the message unto salvation. And only someone who is gifted like that could do what St. Andrew does. We couldn't. We're not supposed to. The church has been established. The Holy Spirit has worked. We have our faith. But we still have to confess with our mouth first, live it, and believe in our hearts that God has raised Christ from the dead, then we will be saved. No other way. This is understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.